Amen.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
You know, I'm thankful today that one day I sat down in a rocking chair beside my mama's baby. She was fixing to go out into eternity. But my lifestyle was not going to let me go where she was going. I sat down one way, and God spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to give you a wish. I said, no, I want my wish. I want to go put my mama's daughter.
Amen.
And I stood up another one. And I've stood up ever since then. I'm an old man, and I keep standing up. And I'm going to stand up until the day I can stand up no more.
Amen.
And if you're saved today, and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, give him a hand clap.
You got your Bibles, we're going to read one verse, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And we're going to step back and we're going to look at Acts chapter number 3 and number 4, and we're going to preach on this subject, when you've been with Jesus. Now, if you listen to the song, you listen to the testimony, these are examples of when you've been with Jesus, amen? Come into the house this morning and you see people worshiping, and you see people who have been with Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been to the fairgrounds. But I've been to the fairgrounds when the fair was there, and you go on a Friday or Saturday night, you got to be careful. I can remember going to the fairgrounds and going, and you go down through there where the games are. I actually had a guy one time going to jump over the stand to come after me because I wouldn't come play his game. Now, it got rough. And, the longer you delay, the rougher it gets. And I went down through there, and I was looking at some of these characters and listening to the conversation. And I thought, boy, this is a rough place, but it's just a fair. Well, I went to the fairground last night, and I didn't know. I went up to the gate, and I walked in. I walked down through there, and I really didn't know exactly what was going on. I knew I was going down to the pavilion to hear some Christian groups sing. But I started observing the fairground. And I'll tell you how much difference it is when you get a couple of thousand people that believe in Jesus together. And this scripture, this message is the same message God had already given me. But I looked around and I said, these people look like they've been with Jesus. I didn't hear the language. I didn't see the pushing. I didn't see the fighting. And I know y'all not perfect, okay? But can we not say it makes a difference when you've been with Jesus? When they got up there and they started to sing and they said, they just let everybody sing. And they started singing the songs that you and I know. And I was listening. And people knew the words. And I'll tell you, Brother Allen, you were looking for a male singer, you got one in your house. That little boy knows every word, every Crowder song there is. And he sings it with passion. And he's good. And I was watching those people and listening to the words and how they sang. You know what I thought? These people have been with Jesus.
Yeah.
You see, when you've been with Jesus, it changes you. Now, I want to read this scripture. Then we're going to back up and I want to walk through the scripture. I want you to see some things in it. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13 says this. And this is speaking of the rulers, the scribes, the Pharisees, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now folks, the word ignorant is not a bad word. That means unlearned. That means that you just don't know. Okay, and we're going to come back to that in just a minute. But I want you to take in your Bible and just turn back a page. And I want us to go back to Acts chapter number 3. And I just want to walk through this scripture. And I want you to see the events leading up to this verse. And then I want us to look at this verse as it applies to these men of God. And then, of course, we want to take this scripture and we want to look right here. You know, the Bible is a great book. It is the book. And the word Bible, it simply means book. It's Biblos. But you know why God gives it to us? He gives it to us for us. For you and I to be able to take it and to apply it to our lives so that we might be able to be what God wants us to be. Now, historically, here's what I want you to see happen. And Brother Tom's been talking about this some on Wednesday night. In chapter 2, the day of Pentecost had come. The Holy Spirit had come rushing in as a mighty wind, and people from all over the world were there, and they heard in their own language. You know, men would get up and they would begin to speak, and a man who was English would begin to speak German. Or a man who was English would begin to speak in Portuguese, or he would begin to speak in some other Asian language. People say, well, it's this, well, it's that. Well, the Bible says it's exactly what I just told you that it was, okay?
Amen.
You can read it for yourself. But what it was is they all heard. Why? Because God wanted the message to go out. And people were able to do things that they could not do by themselves. And that's what I want you to understand. When you get under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, God will do things in you that you can't do yourself. It's not about you. Now, the day of Pentecost had just passed, and Peter and John and the other disciples had saw the power of God fall. They had just witnessed, and the scripture teaches us, that they saw Jesus after he was resurrected, I think it was 9 different times. They were convinced Jesus was God. Nobody was going to tell them otherwise in any other fashion. They had boldness like no other time. They had saw God move in a mighty way. They had experienced his power. And if you look at the last part of the second chapter, the 47th verse, says the Lord added unto the church such as should be saved. In other words, that message was going out and people were receiving it and they were going to tell the story. You know, one of those church signs that I saw said this: we love to tell the story. How about that? We love to tell the story. Well, here's Peter and John in the 3rd chapter. They're headed into the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. As they go in, there is a man who is sitting outside the temple who is asking alms of them. Now, this man is sitting here. Now, you can go over into the 4th chapter at the end of it, and it tells you that this man was above 40 years old. So for 40 years of his life, he had been carried, unable to walk, and sat outside the door. And here's what he did every day. Every day. He sat there with his basket or his cup, and he asked for somebody to put something into his basket so that he could live. And as he is there and he's asking alms outside the temple, Peter and John walk by and they look at him and they fasten their eyes on him and they told him, they said, look at us. There's a crowd everywhere. You know, put something in my basket. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that are asking for something to be put in their basket that the most important thing they need is something inside of their heart. How many people do you know that you ask prayer for every week? The greatest thing they need is to get their heart right with God. It's not going to do them one bit of good for God to heal their heart problem, to heal their blood pressure, for God to deal with the cancer in their life. If the rot of sin is destroying them and they're going to die and go to hell, going to hell sober is not the right way. You need God. They said, we've got something greater than money. He said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that man that had not walked for 40 years jumped up. Now the scripture says this. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Now sometimes we need to get a little dose of that. You know, I said a minute ago about how the people in China cannot take their kids to church. You know, in America, we can take our kids to church, and we've lost the burden for it. I don't know where this is going. I'm just going to have to follow the Lord, I don't tell you. I heard a man one time, he said he sent his son off to college. He said while his son was off at college, he said, you know what, you know how it is. A lot of times, you got to get some roots down, folks. That's why we need to be in the house of God. That's why we need to be teaching our children. That's why we need Awana workers. That's why we need Sunday school teachers so we can instill the Word of God in them so that when they're fighting the world, they've got something to fight with. Said he sent his son off to college. His son come back from college and he said, I just figured out the book of Jonah's a lie. It's a lie. Ain't no man going to live inside of no fish. That's not scientifically possible. Can I tell you folks, there's something greater than science. Amen. Two things about science, it has to be measured. There's some things about God you can't measure with a finite mind.
Right.
A man was arguing with his son, and he said, well, what do you believe about Jonah, Dad? I believe it's God's word. He said, well, get your Bible and show me. He got his Bible out and he couldn't find the book of Jonah. And the boy said this. He said, I tore that 4 pages of that Bible out 2 years ago and you didn't even know it was torn out. People are missing the things of God. We're talking about China and what they're doing. And we have liberty and we're not even taking advantage of it. We ought to be so full in here we have to knock the walls down. But people don't have a burden for the things of God. He said, I got something greater than what's in that basket. I want to tell you about Jesus. He said, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. The people saw it and they were amazed. You know what they did? They run behind Peter and John. They were following them. And they were looking at them and they were asking, how in the world did this happen? What kind of power do you have? You know what Peter said? He said, hold on. I don't have no power. I don't have any power. It's almost like this. Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that denied the Lord 3 times. I'm the one that took the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. I'm the one that every time Jesus spoke, I denied what he said. I'm the one that was hard-headed that God had to work in his life. It's not about me, it's about him.
Amen.
And he began to tell him the story about Jesus and what God's plan was and about how even that when one would be delivered unto them, they took and killed the Prince of Life. And they crucified him. He said, but you did it in ignorance. He said, but right now all God wants is for you to repent. You see, he sent his son and he even told him, he said, there's going to come a time when all things are going to be under restitution and God's going to return. But today, repent and serve him today. So he preached Jesus unto them. Jesus, the scripture said in the 26th verse, says, unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Merciful God of heaven, Jesus. And as Peter was speaking to the people, guess what happened with the religious crowd? They saw Peter and John speaking and preaching, and you know what? People were getting saved. People just getting saved. Lives being changed. Homes being changed. It says in the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, that as they spake to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they came to them, and they were grieved that they taught the people. They were grieved that they preached, and they took them, and they laid hands on them, and they cast them in prison. I was talking last week about a church who has a fund for their young preachers. People say, well, I just don't know about that. Well, go down here and preach on the corner and preach Jesus. You might be all right in Powder Springs, but go to Philadelphia. You're going to need somebody to bail you out. Well, here's Peter and John. They're preaching the Word of God. They grab them and they throw them in prison trying to figure out what to do with them. But it was already done. The Holy Ghost had already moved. And the Scripture says that 5,000 people got saved because of that event. Now, this was after Pentecost. Now, on the next day, the rulers, the elders, the scribes, Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas. Remember those names? Same ones that were there that falsely accused Christ. It says, they took them, as many as were kindred to the high priest, they gathered together, they set them in the midst, and asked them this question. By what power or by what name have you done this? Now listen to this, I'm going to read this. Says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you, whole or well. Said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the headstone of the corner. Okay, you go over to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. You find it again in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 42. It talks about the stone. You go to Daniel and you look at the book of Daniel. I believe it's in chapter number 3 where Nebuchadnezzar had the vision. He said he saw the vision of this great statue and all these kingdoms of the world. He said, but there was a stone that was cut out of a mountain, not made with hands. I want to tell you something. All the way from the beginning, God had a plan. And when Jesus come into the world, it doesn't matter how strong the kingdom is. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's leader. I want to tell you, there's nothing can stop the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, the stone which is set at naught of you builders has become the headstone of the corner. It's almost like this. Y'all can fight it all you want. You can deny it. You can throw us in jail. But Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's going to be Lord. There ain't nobody like Him. There's nobody going to come after Him. There's nobody can take His place. He's King. He's Lord. And listen to the 12th verse. It said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now folks, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that tell us that. The Bible says that in the New Testament there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One way to heaven. It's not a triangle with a bunch of different ways and y'all meet at the top. It's through Jesus, and it's through Jesus Christ only. You'll either accept Him. You can't come through Muhammad. You cannot come through Buddha. You cannot come through Hare Krishna. You cannot come through Shintoism or Hinduism. Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now listen to this. Oh, Peter, he's up full of the Lord. God's all over him, and he's preaching to him. Well, here's Caiaphas and Annas. I'm sure they were sitting there in their best clothes. You know, the Bible says they would make broaden the borders of their phylacteries. They would stand on the corners and do prayers where people would see them. See, they had these things that they would wear across their head and their wrists. They had scripture on them. They had little bells so that you could hear them. And they would get out where everybody could see how religious they are. And here they are, and Peter, dressed in a fisherman's coat and sandals, he's just pouring God on them and convictions on them. They said, what in the world? It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, in other words, they were right in the middle of it. You know what the Lord told Jeremiah, preacher, called to preach? You know what most preachers fear? Standing before a crowd. God not moving. The Lord told Jeremiah, He said, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. What did Moses say? He said, I can't speak. I can't speak. He kept on arguing with God till God said, all right, take your brother. What about Isaiah? He said, I was in the temple on the Lord's. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, it's holy, holy, holy. And then what? God touched him. God touched his mouth. Well, here's Peter and John right in the midst of the greatest religious leaders of the day. The same one that denied the Lord. The same one that, out of anger, just like you and me, just a man. He struggled and he fought. And they looked at him after God moved, and they just about didn't know what to do with him. They said, well, when they saw the boldness and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, here's what I want you to understand. These guys just didn't come from Southwestern Theological Seminary prepared with a 3-point message and a poem. They come walking out there and God moved on them, just like it says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Even Paul, and Brother Tom got into this also, who was educated in the best school. It's education's not what it is. It's when God moves. That's why even Paul himself, he said, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, but declaring unto you the testimony of God. Or declaring to know anything among you, saying, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, here's Peter and John. He's just a fisherman. Said, we perceive that they're unlearned and ignorant, and they marveled at them. And then they said, these men must have been with Jesus. You see, why? I'm going to give you just a couple of things. Why did they perceive? Because of the boldness they had. You see, they were bold. Why were they bold? They were bold because they knew that they were right. I want to give you one of them write it down statements, and it's okay. I mean, this, you know, I don't know how this is going to come across, but it's true. It's okay to be opinionated when you're right. Think about it. See, not only did they know that they were right, but they knew that the others were wrong. They saw Jesus Christ. They saw Him. Peter, you know, could you try to imagine trying to argue with Peter? He said, wait a minute. I walked on water.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Wait a minute. After they said He was gone and buried, I was out in a boat. And I looked on the shore and there was one there and he spoke to me. And he said, even then I wasn't in the right shape. I had to grab my fisherman's coat and wrap it around me. And when I got to the shore, he wasn't waiting with a stick, but he had a meal prepared. He had fish on the fire and he comforted me and he taught me. I saw him after he was resurrected. I'm not going to quit preaching in Jesus' name. He had boldness because he knew he was right. You know, when you get saved by the grace of God, it will change your life. I was there yesterday at that concert, and I call it a concert, and I like worship. And I'm just going to be honest. When I go and the music is beat, 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 and I can't tell it from Led Zeppelin, I said, Lord, where are you at? Okay? But this guy got up there and they did the beat, beat, beat song and he started singing songs that he wrote. And his name was Zach Williams. And some of you know who Zach Williams is. I've heard one of his songs. Now I know who he is. I got the CD. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to that and this guy gives his testimony. And this is what he said. He said, in 2012, he said, I was in a rock band. He said, I was touring Europe with my band and he said, my life was a mess. He said, I was on a road to self-destruction. He said, I'd done everything. I'd tried everything. I was miserable. I had success. But when you don't have peace with God, it don't matter what you have. He said, I heard that song, Overwhelmed by Big Daddy Weave. He said, I just, you know, God will save you wherever you're at. You just got to fall down. Right, Brother Jimmy? One of the pastors that I know that pastors a church not far from here, he got saved in his den. Because God wouldn't let him sleep that night. This man said, in my hotel room, I fell down and cried out to God. He said, I quit my rock band, went home, told my wife. He said, we got to go to church. 2012, he accepted the Lord. Today, he's traveling singing in that song, Chainbreaker. He said, if you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. And as he stood up there and he sang, of course, I got my phone out since I've learned notes. You know, you can take notes on your phone. That's good technology. People think I'm texting. What I'm doing is I'm writing down outline after outline for sermons because every time this guy sings a song, what he's doing is giving his testimony in song. And you know what he's saying? He said, everybody, I want you to know I've been with Jesus. It'll change you. It'll change you. You see, this says here they were ignorant and unlearned. But I want you to understand the reason they knew they'd been with Jesus also had to do with the knowledge that they had gained. You ever had anybody say, well, he's just a fisherman? That's what they said of Peter. He's just a fisherman. Where did he get all this? I've had people call me an educated redneck. I don't know why. I must fit the bill. They had gained some knowledge. Well, how did they gain knowledge? Because, number one, they had firsthand knowledge. They saw Christ. But what did God tell us in the book of John? He said, after I leave, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That word comforter, paraclete, it means helper. He said, he shall guide you and teach you in all things. Can I tell you that if you spend time with Jesus, he'll teach you things you'll never learn in any school. You'll never learn them in seminary. You learn them when you get in the presence of a living God. I heard a story of a missionary that was actually brought back from India. And when they brought him back, would one of you guys bring me that chair right over there, please, against the wall? One of you young men, bring me that chair. They brought this missionary back from India. And they saw him when they were there, and he accepted Christ, and they saw how God was moving in his life. And they brought him back from India, and they said, God is using you. We've got to take you back, and we've got to educate you so you can be a preacher. Well, they brought him back and they put him in Bible college. And folks, ain't nothing wrong with Bible college. I went. Okay? But I'll tell you this, greatest learning I've ever had is being under men of God.
Yeah.
Just being around God's people.
Amen.
Well, they got this young man over there and he's in Bible college. And they come to see how he's doing. And he said, it's just not going well for me. He said, all the things they've tried to teach me, he said, God has already taught me in my chair. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, at home I have a chair. And I used to would sit in the chair and talk to the Lord. And he said, then it changed. He said, then I would bow down at the chair and I would talk to the Lord. And he said, then I got to wanting more from the Lord. And I got to being willing to sacrifice. And he said, when I would pray, I would hold the chair over my head. He said, I would sit there and I would pray and I would talk to God. If it took an hour, he said, I would stay. He said, but the longer I sacrificed and I sought him, the more that he taught me. David said in the book of Psalms, he said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The reason we don't know more about God is we ain't got enough hunger for the things of God. Well, they're just fishermen. Remember, Jesus had taught them. See, the Holy Ghost had come on the scene and God had moved on them. And God can teach you things you'll never learn anywhere else. You know what these religious leaders begin to realize? This is bigger than us. We can't deal with these guys. They got something that we don't know anything about. And then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the commitment they held. They knew that they had been with Jesus. Go down to the 18th verse. When they couldn't do nothing with them, they called them to them. And you know what they did? They commanded them in the 18th verse not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. In other words, we command you. Have we not had some of that? Let me tell you where we're at in America today. You know, you say, well, I don't believe. And you say something according to what the Bible says. That doesn't go around with the agenda of the world. They say, well, you're just full of hate. No, that's not true. We love everybody. But we just believe God's word is the standard. And passing legislation that says otherwise doesn't change the word of God. And they can tell you and I, we're going to stop. We're going to quit. No, we're not. They said, you're going to quit preaching and teaching in Jesus' name. It says in the 19th verse, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, you be the judge. Is it better for us to obey you or to obey God? It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, they wouldn't quit. They said, we can't quit. We're going to preach. Now, why do we come to church? Folks, I'm going to tell you why we come to church. Because it's real.
Yes.
It's real.
Yes.
Went to two funerals last week. It's real.
It is.
We're not going to live forever. We're all going to die.
Amen.
All of us have issues. All of us have homes. All of us have children. I know you got stress. We all live with stress every day. But I want to tell you something. We need God in our lives. And for home improvement, go to church. For home improvement, surrender your house to God. I've had people call me since I've been pastor in this church. They say, we want you to come and anoint our church. I told them this. I said, when you get the alcohol out and you get the drugs out and you get the dirty magazines out, I'll come. But until then, I'm not fighting the devil if you're not willing to get right with God. We won't quit. We won't quit preaching. It's almost like this. Not only are we not going to quit, we're going to tell everybody. So we're going to follow Jesus no matter what. Well, what happened to them? They had been with Jesus. See, when you be with Jesus, it's going to change your life. That's why sometimes people are afraid. People afraid to sit in church like this. They're afraid they'll rub off on them. And you know, if we would do the right things in our life and get around the right people, it would rub off on us. See, when I heard the testimony of Zach Williams, and he talked about all the things he did before, we don't always know when we surrender to God what tomorrow's going to bring. You see, if he had known how popular he would be very quickly and how successful he would be, he might have done it quicker. See, what people want, they want to come to Jesus and they want all their stuff fixed. But you got to realize you got to give him your life first. And then leave all your stuff to him. See, when you've been with Jesus, others will see your faith. It changes you. That's why America, and I know that not everybody in America is a Christian, but I do believe, and I want to say this in defiance of one of the former presidents we have, this is still a Christian nation.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And the reason it is as strong as it is today is because we have families that pray, we have mamas and daddies that pray, and we have people that are willing to fill apart from one end to the other and sing songs. And when they begin to sing last night, because he lives. And you could hear them singing from one end to the other. I said, these people have been with Jesus.
Yeah.
America's as strong as she is today because there's still people like you. Like all of you that love the Lord. That pray and ask God. That get down by the bed at night. And I know some of you have done this. You go in when your kids are asleep. And I know you do it. You put your hand on that little girl's head or that little boy's head, and you pray for them. And you pray that God will protect them. And you even pray that God will send the right one in their life in the future. When they get up in the morning and you're trying to get them up and they're ill, you're praying for them that God would help them through the day. You're praying for them when they take that test. You're praying for them when you know that sometimes the news, the little things in life come, you're praying for them. Can I tell you that is what's holding America strong today? See, when people have been with Jesus, others see your faith. That's why out of America, that's where the missionaries of the world go. That's why that one-third of China is Christian today, because people were willing to go behind the curtain and preach the Word of God, even in the name of a mission, not necessarily to preach the Word, but to take medicine. You know how many people have went into the mission field under the cover of medicine or under the cover of science, willing to go to places like Peter and John? They knew it was dangerous. But things had changed in their life. And their faith created a hunger for new things. It created a mind in them that creates a moral society. What do you mean by that? Well, I'm going to give you a thought, and I'm going to be done in just a minute. But can you imagine, let's just say going through the square of Marietta on a Saturday night. We ain't got to talk about Atlanta. We ain't got to talk about Chicago or Los Angeles. But just the square of Marietta. And you're walking down an alley going to your car and you see four young men headed towards you. And the dark, you know, shadows of the alley are there. Would it make a difference in your life if you knew that those four young men just came from a Bible study? You see, Christianity has created a moral society where people can live together in harmony. Not perfection, because we're still in the flesh and we're still in a fallen world where the whole earth groaneth and travaileth unto now. But I'll tell you here what I want you to understand. When you've been with Jesus, it makes a difference.
Yes.
That faith, it makes a difference because it gives you life purpose. Can I tell you, if you don't already know, you probably already know, you're going to have disappointments in life. Even as a Christian, you're going to have struggles, you're going to have trials, you're going to have disappointments. But when you know Christ, you got a reason. A reason. Now, without Christ, I don't know what people do. I don't know what you do when you don't have hope. I don't know what you do when you don't have a reason. But with Christ, you have a reason to live. You have a reason to do. Because the Bible teaches us that all we do, to do it heartily, is unto the Lord. Everything you do. You say, well, I'm just this. I'm not going to say the title because it might be yours. I don't care what you do, but you can do it for the honor and glory of God, and you can be the best one. See, when you know the Lord, you got a reason to live, you got a reason to do, and I want to tell you something greater. You have a reason to die. You say, well, I don't want to die. Well, I don't either as far as dying. I had a guy the other day, I met him, I was at a funeral home. He said, are you going to come to my 100th birthday party? And I said, I probably won't be alive. And I thought I might not should have said that. I said, how old are you? He said, 88. I said, I'm coming. I said, I got too much to do. I got to live that long. And he just laughed. But I want to tell you something. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'll tell you why. If you go back and read in that latter part of that third chapter, he said it's going to stay this way until the time of restitution of all things. The Lord's going to come. He's going to gather, just like as I looked at that, you know, there's probably several thousand people there. What was that I heard earlier? As many as you can see, far as the eye can see, they're going to be singing praises to the Lord. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be praising. I'll tell you why I'm going to die. I'm going to go be with the Lord. I'm going to see my loved ones. Sometimes I talk to some of you folks and y'all say, well, you're just a young whippersnapper. And I say, I'm almost old as you. No, no, you're not. Well, if you was 970 and I was 950, we'd be close. And in comparison to eternity, we're that close. We're that close. You see, when you've been with Jesus, you're going to be known by your faith and you'll have a purpose. And can I tell you, you'll be different. You'll be different. Because you'll have hope in your life. You'll have peace in your life. I heard Johnny Hunt one time as they get ready with a song. I was up at Woodstock First Baptist Church. I don't know, a men's gathering or something. He was giving his testimony. And he seemed so excited as he spoke. He said, if you meet Jesus, you will never be the same. I don't care what these scribes and Pharisees and all them tried to do. Peter's standing before him just as a fisherman. He said, y'all just got to realize, I've been with Jesus. If you're here this morning and you know Christ is your personal Savior, you know what a difference Jesus makes. Sometimes I ask you, rise to your feet. Sometimes you know what a difference Jesus makes, but are you letting Jesus have his proper place? Sometimes we have trouble because we're just not surrendering to what God wants. But there may be somebody here say, well, I've never met the Lord. I don't know Jesus. The first thing you need to have fulfillment, to have peace, to find out what's going on, how to get things right in your life, you got to surrender to God. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you meet him, I can't guarantee you that all your diseases will be healed and all your financial problems will be fixed and all the people in your life you're having trouble with will be straightened out, but I can tell you this much, you will never be the same. They're going to play this song, and if God spoke to your heart, this is your opportunity to pray. I want to tell you something, God loves you, and you are important to God.